Whoever felt so overwhelmed with the stress and pressure of the complicated business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio. Or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance, 877-420-8255. Well, good morning, and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. I'm Fred Kitchen, along with Gene Dean. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Fred. Here we are. We're going to do the last program of 2011 today.
Wow, is that not amazing that we have a whole year of life behind us?
Absolutely.
A new year coming up. Absolutely.
And we have a new guest here in the studio with us. Why don't you introduce her?
We have Annalise. This is my daughter, Annalise Kitchen. She's been here in the studio with us before, but
she wanted to come in
this morning and be with us. So glad to have Annalise along with us.
And I wish this were television so you could see Annalise, because she has the most beautiful red hair and a pretty complexion. And how old is Annalise?
Annalise is nine.
Nine. And she's wearing the cutest top, and it even has almost matching earmuffs.
Yeah. You know, these girls are really good at matching everything they wear. They match a little bit of everything.
Oh, that's good. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Fred, I know that since we did our last broadcast a couple of weeks ago, that you had several different sessions for people who find it difficult at this time of the year, because maybe they've lost somebody really close to them, or maybe they just even find Christmas to be a little depressing, perhaps for some reason, maybe way back in their life. And you had one at HIMG, I think.
Yeah,
one
we did.
Somewhere
we had an event at HIMG, and that was on December 20th. Mm-hmm. Had an excellent turnout. We had a really good group of people there, and we talked about grief in the holidays is what we was talking about. And we give away some practical ideas in dealing with the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, in next year, this is an annual event that myself and Henson Mortuary and HIMG is going to continue on because of its success. We're going to probably move this a little earlier, probably move it back into November.
Because
Before Thanksgiving, you know, that's really a tough time for many also.
Well, it is, yes. It's a big holiday.
I'm going to do that. But, you know, I'll mention something. Actually, one of the local news media television stations showed up at this event, and mm-hmm. they asked me, they said, you know, here it is, the holidays. It's supposed to be a time of joy, a time of happiness. Is this really the time of year to be, you know, having an event like this, you know, mm-hmm. is one of the questions. And, you know, I said, oh, absolutely. So I went back inside. That was kind of before the event started. I went back inside and shared that with the group. And I said, hey, you know, this is something that the news media brought up and said, hey, this is a time for joy. And, you know, is this really a needed event at this time of year? And they all unanimously said, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of us, there's a lot of people that's really capitalizing on the joy. And
sure.
There's a lot that aren't.
Yeah, well, you sort of have to balance the joy with the sorrow, and Thanksgiving's over, Christmas is over, but we've got New Year's coming up this weekend, and that's a time when people think, they look back at what's happened in the past year, but they're also thinking, what's going to happen in the coming year?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to kind of touch later on in the show about some of the things that we talked about on the HIMG event there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of good information and some good ideas and things like that just helps people. And here we are going into the end of this year and starting a brand new year. And just because the holidays are over doesn't mean that this time has passed for many people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll share some of those ideas that we talked about there at HIMG, an excellent event. Also,
you know, Fred, I sometimes think that it's a little worse here in this part of the world because it's winter.
Right.
And it's kind of darker. And I wonder what it's like in Australia.
Oh, wow. Down Under.
Down Under, right.
Well, you know, another event that we had, Gene, was the Henson Mortuary's annual Christmas Remembrance Service.
Okay.
And we kind of took a little different take on that this year in that we had Dr. Gary Patton to speak at that event.
Oh, okay.
And he does an excellent job, and we've worked with Gary in the past. And
very well known at St. Mary's.
Very well known, yeah. And he really touched on a lot of things. We actually set this program up to where he had about probably a good 45 to 50 minutes of nothing but good information, helpful information. Not just information that would be helpful, but information that would allow people to know, you know what, the way I'm feeling is normal, and I'm not the only person feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, what we was able to do, we digitally recorded this year's service, and we were able to edit that and put together a CD, a compact disc, for those who want to come by the funeral home or have us to mail them a copy for free of this 60-minute program. It is a must-have for anybody that is experiencing loss and grief. If you have a friend that's experiencing loss and grief. And then we also had some caregivers there from some of the medical centers and different places in the area that said, hey, we want to use this as a tool in helping people who are going through this. So for anyone that just want, you've got a neighbor having a tough time, this is an excellent resource. So it is available.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing this morning, Gene, we're going to take, just a few minutes here, probably 10 minutes or so, 12 minutes, and we're going to listen to an excerpt of this program with Dr. Gary Patton. You know, one of the things that he was talking about, that he starts off in talking about, is one of the things that a lot of us have problem with, and it's closure. And you and I have talked about that kind of briefly in the past about how people expect you, oh, well, you know, it's been 6 months. It's been a year. You should be through this by now. It's been 6 weeks, you know. And that come up at the HIMG event. A lot of people says, you know, we have this pressure. We feel this pressure from people that think, you know what, it's been 6-8 weeks. You know, you should be done with this. You should be through this. And so Dr. Gary Patton talks about closure here, and I think this is going to be something that listeners will really get something out of.
Yeah, it's already raising questions in my mind, so you can play that now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take
okay.
We'll go ahead and take a listen to that right now. This is
okay.
The event that was the annual Christmas Remembrance Service and Bereavement Service at Henson Mortuary this year.
And because we've had those other times of holidays, there was joy, and this year there's pain, but the two work together to create a greater awareness of us and within us about life and about these relationships and about our faith and about our future, and we're able to tolerate it, hopefully just a little bit stronger and a little bit better. So one of the things I want to tell you is about this word called closure. I have used that word, and probably some of you have used that word, and it's not a bad word, but neither is it a completely accurate word. One time I was speaking about grief somewhere, and I commented on the fact that I didn't really like the idea of closure because I felt like closure sounded too final, it sounded too terminal, it sounded as though we were done. And I had somebody tell me afterwards, they said, thank you for saying that because I hate that word. They said, I don't want to close my grief. My grief is not to be closed. I said, well said. So I went to work thinking, what is it that we need then? If we can't have closure, if closure is not the goal, then what do we need? And I've come up with something that might be useful for you. If it's not, you can just ignore it, but maybe it'll be useful for you because a few people have said this helped them. I think the goal of what we're doing here today, and I think the goal of trying to get through these holidays is not closure. I think here's the goal: to move from unbearable pain to bearable pain. If I can just do that, if I can just get through this unbearable pain to bearable pain, because most of us have been able to say, I can handle bearable pain. I won't extract this analogy too far, but imagine a time when we've had some sort of illness or malady. You can pick the one that you want, but you've been sick. And then sometime later, somebody says, are you better? And you go, well, yeah, and no. I'm better than I was, but I'm not better. I'm not back where I used to be. I still sort of have a queasy stomach or my head's still stopped up. Yeah, I'm better than I was, but I'm not better. And I think that's what happens with this understanding of closure not being the goal. The goal is to move from unbearable pain, this pain that brought you all here today saying, Gary, I don't know if I can do this much longer. I don't know how I've done it this long. The goal is to move from that crushing, unbearable pain to a bearable pain. And friends, I can share with you through many, many people who, if I'm an expert in grief, I'll tell you who made me an expert. It's people like you who have told me their stories. Because you don't get to talk to all those people like I have, but I've talked to them and I bring their collective wisdom back to you upon many, many, even hundreds of people who've said, I don't like the cliches, but I do understand that I have moved from unbearable pain to bearable pain. It does happen. That's not an easy answer. I don't want to give you a platitude, but I can give you the witness and testimony of so many, many people who've walked this difficult road ahead of you. The pain does move from unbearable, crushing pain to a bearable pain. And then we start to feel as though I still remember and I still love, but I'm feeling a little bit better. The reason we don't like closure, I think, is because, you know, I need to, and I want to assure you today that there's something stronger than death. Do you know that your love is stronger than death? Because when the death happened, your love didn't stop. And I would even go so far as to say for you that your loved one still loves you. I just think there has to be something stronger than death. We cannot allow death to have the final culminating say. There has to be something stronger than death. And you still love them. That's why you're here. And you're courageous in that. And I think they still love you. And that love and that hope, the hope of eternal life, the hope of memories that guide us through our pain, it helps us move from unbearable pain to bearable pain. So that's one of the first things I'd like to offer to you for this season, is that your goal is not to feel better, feel good, get over it. Your goal is to move from unbearable pain to bearable pain, and it happens so incrementally slow that we don't even know if it's happening. But it is happening. The second thing I want to give to you before we start hearing the names, among those three things, is this. That there's something called the paradox of grief. I'd never read about this before. I sort of invented this, and if it doesn't make much sense, I take the responsibility for it because I invented it. But it seemed to make sense from all the stories that I was hearing about people who trusted me with their pain, who trusted me and shared with me the story of their pain. And basically, here's the paradox of grief. It kind of goes along with the things I shared with you a while ago about trying to fix it and humor it and avoid it and intellectualize it and deny it and all the rest. Here's the paradox of grief. The more I ignore the experience of grief, the more the experience of grief affects all my other experiences. Now, let me give that to you again, just so it sinks in a little bit. The more I ignore the experience of grief, because I'm supposed to be strong, remember, at least that's what they said to us, the more I try to ignore the experience of grief, the more the experience of grief affects all my other experiences. Let me give you a quick synopsis of how I've seen this happen. I've had some men who've been grieving who've said to me, Gary, I got a problem. What's the problem? I cry too much. How you know you cry too much? Well, I cry, and that's too much. Okay. And so when do you cry? And he said, that's the problem. I cry at my grandbaby's birthday party. I cry when football, my favorite football team wins. I cry at the Pledge of Allegiance. I cry, you know, when there's a full moon. I cry all the time. And I've never cried before. And I've said to them, maybe you're crying all the time because you haven't cried when you needed to cry. And they say, what's that mean? I said, it means the experience of grief, the paradox of grief. When I ignore the experience of grief starts to affect all my other experiences. And if I'm crying because there's a full moon, then maybe what that means is I haven't cried where I really needed to, and now they're just sort of seeping out all the time. I just cry all the time. I cry at the grocery line at Kroger's. I just cry all the time. You know, I can read the National Enquirer and cry. Well, maybe what we're doing is we're not crying enough, so now our body's going, guess what? You get to cry all the time. You didn't let me cry when I needed to, so now just cry all the time. Paradox of grief. It will not be ignored. It will not be denied and shuttled off to the side. It is real. It is there for a reason. It's there because we loved, and that's a good and honorable thing. Well, if I start crying, I'll never stop. Yeah, you will. physiologically you have to. You can't cry forever. You will stop crying. But there's a very interesting study that was done with tears. They did a chemical analysis of some tears. They took tears from the eyes of people that had sort of poked their finger in the eye or had been peeling an onion. They got captured and got some of those tears and analyzed them. They were basically water. The eye was cleansing itself. And then they got some tears from people who were hurting. Maybe hurting for different reasons, but they were hurting. And they analyzed those tears. Oh, you're probably already there, aren't you? Those tears had tiny traces of toxins in them. The body was trying to cleanse something that was overwhelming and that was just unspeakable. So I poke my finger in my eye and my eye waters up because my body's trying to just sort of heal that and cleanse it. But my heart is broken. And now the tears have tiny traces of toxin in them because the body is trying to express something. Let's not let the paradox of grief take control. Let's not let it affect all of our other experiences because we refuse to accept it when we need to. And here's the last thing I want to share with you before we do this, a very important thing that you've come here today, which is to hear these names. And it's this. So what should I do, Gary? I mean, what should I do? You've given us some ideas today, the idea of the paradox of grief. You've given me the idea of moving from unbearable to bearable pain. But what should I do? Well, do whatever you need to do. Just don't do it all the time. Again, I share this with an experience because I have the permission to do so, but there were some parents that had come to me for assistance because they had lost a child. And in the heaviness of that grief and that bereavement, they just sort of parted ways in terms of how they coped with it. They came to me, and as they were in my office, I said, "How can I assist you all? What can I do to help you?" And he said, "Well, it's probably all me. I'm probably not right. Who knows what I've done, but it's probably my fault." And she said, "No, honey, it's not your fault. It's probably me." She said, it's just the way I deal with it." And they were just sort of going back and forth, and I was kind of watching them as they sort of traded with each other why it was their fault and not the other one's fault. And I said, "Help me understand." And she said, "Well, I can't leave the house. I can't go out in the public and watch people smiling and giggling and doing frivolous things." She said, "I've lost a child and I can't tolerate the superficial ways that so many people live. I just stay home." I said, "What do you do while you're home?" She said, "I sit in his room. I look at pictures. I rearrange the clothes in his closet. Gary, I can't leave the house." I looked at him. I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I can't go home." I said, "What do you mean you can't go home?" He said, "I can't go home." He said, "I come home from work and change clothes and I leave." He said, "I either mow the grass or I go help the neighbor mow his grass." He said, "More people in that neighborhood have appreciated me helping change the oil in their cars than you can imagine." He said, "I'll do anything to stay away from the house. I can't go there. It terrifies me. Because when I walk in the garage, I see his rollerblades and I see his basketball and I can't do it." And I said, "You all don't see much of each other then, do you?" And they said, "No." "So which one of us is crazy?" I said, "Well, neither one of you is crazy, but here's the problem. You're both doing what you need to do. You're just doing it all the time. You can't leave the house, and you can't go in the house." I said, "Folks, grief calls for a little bit of courage from us, and here's what it means. That you can stay at home and rearrange the clothes in his closet." She said, "I'm not weird." I said, "You're not weird. But every once in a while, maybe you could just get in the car with him and just go through the drive-through window and get an ice cream cone and then go back home. Maybe you could come home and just walk in the house and make sure she's okay and spend a little time with her before you go change some more oil and mow some more grass." You ought to have heard the sigh of relief in that room when they both were able to realize that I'm not doing something wrong. I just can't do it all the time because it's messing everything else up. The things that you enjoy doing that help you through your grief, do it. But if you do it all the time, it might start getting in the way. "Well, I don't go out. I'm not going to any Christmas parties this year." Maybe you need to go to one just for a couple of minutes and give a Christmas greeting and then go back home. Because what we begin to experience from that is the knowledge that I can do some other things. I'm not just locked into one way of managing this. I'm not just locked into one way of coping. I don't really want to. I know you don't want to. I didn't either. But I had to teach myself that I could move from unbearable pain to bearable pain. I had to teach myself that the paradox of grief is powerful, and if I ignore the experience of grief, it will affect all my other experiences. And I had to teach myself, "Gary, do whatever you need to do. Do whatever you need to do. Just don't do it all the time, or your grief will take charge and corner you.
Wow. Your grief will take charge and corner you if you do the same thing all the time and you're not doing any other things.
Exactly. I think that's kind of the way life is. Anything can take over if you allow it to, just as grief can. And that was Dr. Gary Patton, of course.
That was Dr. Gary Patton.
Right. And you had this event at Henson Mortuary?
Yes, this event was at Henson Mortuary. Yeah. It was on the 10th of December.
Okay.
When we had this.
Okay. Did you have a good number of people?
Oh, we had an excellent turnout. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this is an annual event that we do. This is the first year that we recorded it and put it in CD format.
Okay.
And we did that because we felt like that there were so many people that needed this information.
Mm-hmm.
And then too, I was looking at it and I was thinking, okay, how can we take this one time event that happens once a year, honoring the families, loved ones who have passed away, and then this, like I said, this year we really made a concerted effort to make sure that it was open to the public to come, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And we were glad for that. But I wanted to figure out a way that we could make sure that this just didn't happen on this Saturday and then it was over. You know, wanted to make sure that this information was recorded, it was documented, and that people could, have access to the CD.
Mm-hmm.
They could play that anytime they're having a difficult time, you know, just to understand some of the things that he talked about.
And does the CD have just the segment that we heard, or does it have more on it?
The
than
CD
that?
Has about six. It has 60 minutes exactly.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a 60-minute program, and it has the entire program. What we heard was just about a 10-minute or 12-minute excerpt
mm-hmm.
of that program. So there is a lot more information that Gary had there available during this event.
Mm-hmm,
this event.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anyone would want copies of this, they are free. There's no charge for these whatsoever, no obligation of any kind. We just want to make these available to anybody that needs them. And like I said, if you know someone that is hurting and could just use some helpful information, be sure and stop by Henson Mortuary or give us a call at 304-736-8986. We'll get you one out in the mail. I think it's good information that a lot of people need to have.
Absolutely. And I would think, of course, Dr. Patton is so well known here mm-hmm. for his work at St. Mary's, and I'm sure that would help a whole lot of people. Let me ask you this, Fred. Should people call before and say, I'd like to have a copy, or can they just stop by?
They can just stop by if they'd like.
Okay.
They can call. They can definitely call if they want to and just say, hey, we're going to be coming by. But a lot of families, a lot of people are just stopping by and coming
mm-hmm.
in the office
mm-hmm.
and saying, hey, I'd like to get that free CD.
Maybe this would be a good time to tell them where Henson is.
Yeah, Henson Mortuary. We are in the far east end of Huntington, real close to Barbersville. It's at 6357 East Pea Ridge Road, Huntington, 25705. And you can
at the Barbersville end of East Pea Ridge.
It's the Barbersville end of East Pea Ridge. We're actually real close to, real close to Route 60.
Okay.
And Farmdale Road and all that area right there. So
we're right there.
Uh-huh. We're Barbersville, basically.
Well, I'm sure this has helped a whole lot of people. And then I know we don't have time to get into it before we take our station break here. But you've given me something else here that I believe was a handout at the same session.
Now, this handout that we're looking at right here, Gene, was the handout from the HIMG event.
Oh,
this
okay.
is the event that I actually presented myself.
Uh-huh.
And so we can talk about this also in the next half. And I'd like to go back and revisit some of the things that Dr. Patton talked about also.
Okay.
So I think we've got a lot to talk about and hopefully leave some information at the end of this year of 2011 for some of those that's going to help us through 2012.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm looking at the clock, and okay, we've got 14, 13, 12. We've got several seconds.
Be a good time for
here.
You to sing, Gene. Sing us out.
I don't know the accompaniment there. We are listening, though, to Planning for Tomorrow, and of course, Fred Kitchen and Gene Dean, and we'll be right back.
And welcome back to Planning for Tomorrow. I am Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean, and we have Annalise Kitchen, my daughter, in the studio with us, Gene.
Right, and some kind person bought a whole box or two boxes of donuts, and Annalise
she
is
has
going
got
to be
in
munching
them.
Away.
She is going at it.
Okay, Fred, we played 10 to 12 minutes of Dr. Gary Patton and the talk that he gave at the ceremony, not ceremony, but the meeting that mm-hmm. you had at Hanson Mortuary before Christmas.
Right.
What date did you say, December 10th?
That was December 10th, yeah. Right. It's the annual Christmas Remembrance and Bereavement Service.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this year we looked at it and we said, okay, how can we bring, we usually have a minister always speak at these events, and of course Dr. Patton is a minister also. But, you know, we looked at it and said, you know, how can we have a minister to actually be a part of this service, yet bring in a lot of the information that Dr. Patton does, and he just does an incredible job. And he has the voice for it, you know, he makes people feel comfortable.
Very calm.
He's very calm, right, and his delivery is just excellent. So that's where all this event come from. You know, one of the things that I thought that he said that was very interesting was talking about closure. And how a lot of people want that, you know, I think they kind of expect that door to close after a certain period of time. And
but he also said a lot of people don't like that word.
A lot of people don't like that word.
What's the alternative?
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, what he was saying with closure is, you know, sometimes it feels too final and too terminal, or, you know, we're done with that. It's over.
Because right. I'm not sure that I really got from him that... you know, closure is sort of like shutting a gate or something. It's
right.
over, it's done with, and I don't think people like that.
Well, no, I don't think they do. And, you know, like he was saying, you know, what we're trying to do is move ourselves, those of us that are grieving, move ourselves from unbearable pain to bearable pain.
Yeah, that was a very good analogy.
I thought that was a mm-hmm. very good analogy, because that's where we're just trying to get to. And like he said, you know, he used a good analogy of being sick and saying, you know, how are you feeling?
A little bit better.
Yeah, I'm a little better. You know, right. I'm not there yet, but I'm a little better. You know, so it becomes bearable.
Right. So let's eliminate the word closure.
That's right. Let's just do away with that completely.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that he also talked about was the paradox of grief, which is something that he actually, you know, invented himself. He said, the more, and I thought, and this I thought was very interesting, because I have seen this. I've seen this in my own family. And I've actually probably even seen it in myself, be honest with you, when it comes to grief. But the more that I ignore the experience of grief, the more the experience of grief affects all of my other experiences in life. And that is so true.
That was very true.
You think about that. You know, we try to, when something happens to us like that, we try to just shove it away, push it aside, and act like it kind of didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, you know, 3 months from now, you know, it's affecting the way that we maybe... you know, do things in life. We interact with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we become an introvert. You know, we just don't want to leave the house. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. So I thought that was really interesting.
That was an interesting little story that he gave about the man and wife that came to see him. She wouldn't go out and he wouldn't come in to the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like he said, they weren't really doing anything wrong. They mm-hmm. were just doing too much of what they were doing.
That's
exactly.
right. One thing that I did like is how he explained that when you're sick,
mm-hmm.
you don't get well immediately, but you get well
over
a stage
time.
At a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I there's an expression that I'd like to pass on to Dr. Patton, if he is not already familiar with it, but that it's one of those old adages that I heard when I was a kid, that mm-hmm. if you're sick, that every day in every way I'm getting better and better.
There you go.
Did you ever hear that?
No, I haven't. Every day in
every
way
I'm getting better and better. Right, so...
I'll write that down.
Might pass that on.
Have my
to
personal
her.
Assistant here too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, she's too busy eating her donuts.
That's right. That's right.
And so is Ernie. And of course, we're talking on the air, so we're not eating anything.
That's right. That's right. You know, one other thing that I took away from this short excerpt that we had here today with Dr. Patton was he was talking about the tears, and I thought this was interesting. You know, the chemical analysis that was done on tears.
Yeah.
And. Basically, he said, you know, they would take someone who had peeled an onion or had accidentally poked their finger in the eye, and they looked at those tears, did a chemical analysis of those tears, and it was water, basically cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you took someone that was hurting through grief, loss.
Really sobbing. Mm-hmm.
Sobbing, really upset, and a broken heart, we'll say it that way. And there was traces of tiny toxins in those tears.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way that the body cleansed those tears. You know, I think sometimes that's one of the things that... I don't know, I guess just as people, we think, well, loss and grief, we understand it's pain, but it's really not pain. That's what they kind of think. You know, mm-hmm. we a lot of times think, and it really is. It's a form of pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's an emotional,
it's a physical thing.
It is. It, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that he didn't address, Fred, or at least in the portion that we played on the air, and I'd like to know what his comment would be on this, is that a lot of people don't find it easy to cry.
Right.
And, I mean, maybe it's something physical. I don't know.
Could be.
But it doesn't mean that you're not grieving just because right. you're not crying. And
right.
I just wonder what his comment would be on that.
Well, that would be interesting to hear him comment on that. And like I said, there was a whole lot more to the CD that, you know, that
sure.
he may have touched on that a little bit. Yeah. But, you uh-huh. know, saying what you're saying right there makes me look at one other comment that he made, that grief does require a little bit of courage on our part. And, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we have the courage, and maybe we're just going, you know, okay, I'm going to act like this didn't happen. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be strong. I'm
mm-hmm.
supposed to be the strong one in the family,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And when, in fact, you know, we suppress that, you know, I don't know. I mean, that would be interesting to talk to him about.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to have him on the show sometime also.
Okay,
so.
Okay. So. What about the session that you had in conjunction with HIMG this year?
The session that we had in conjunction with HIMG this year was entitled Grief in the Holidays, and it's practical ideas for dealing with the Christmas season. And we tried to give some ideas and some things like a map for the holidays and some things to just keep in mind and things that let you know, hey, it's okay to feel a certain way. It's okay to act a certain way. It's okay not to do the things that we've done for the last 30 years consistently. Or it is okay. I mean, there's really no rules to this. It's whatever you feel like. If you don't feel like going, and, you know, some people say, oh, make yourself go. If you absolutely feel like that it's going to take you to a place that you don't want to be, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
And don't feel guilty about not going or not doing whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been a major change in your life. And with that major change, I mean, you know, you just don't go on and act like things are the way they once were.
Is this that you gave me a copy of, Grief in the Holidays, is this a handout that was given at the HIMG meeting?
This is a handout that was given at the HIMG meeting.
It's kind of a mini brochure, really.
It really is. And we've got these available at the funeral home also, if anyone would like to pick these up. I mean, it's just good reading information. But these are
And on the very front page here, it just kind of goes into what we were just saying. Don't feel guilty if you don't do something, because it says be patient with yourself.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I think sometimes we can be too hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other things it talks about there is giving yourself time.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that's what
lots
we were talking about. You know, a lot of times, you know, at this event, it was interesting. We had a lot of good participation.
This is where the people there could join in the conversation.
They could join in the conversation, yeah.
And this is one that you spoke at, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the one that I spoke at. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me, the amount of people that raised their hand and said, hey, you know, a lot of people feel like that we should be done with this in 4 to 5 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about.
And that's exactly right. And they said, you know, hey, you know, we're nowhere close to being done with this. And one of the things that Dr. Patton talks about is not getting over it, but getting through it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and there is a big difference there.
Yeah, it's not climbing over a wall. It's opening the gate and going through.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's actually taking a pick and a hammer and chiseling your way through this big barrier.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some of the things that are particularly pertinent at this time of the year is about traditions.
Mm-hmm.
There's several little segments here on the traditions that you used to have and the mm-hmm. traditions that you maybe will start now. So it's I haven't read it all, Fred, but it really looks very, very interesting.
A lot of good information.
Yeah.
Let's take just a quick break right here and have a word from our sponsors, and then let's come back and revisit this once again.
Yes,
Jen, okay?
Let's do it.
And we are back to planning for tomorrow. I am Fred Kitchen with Gene Dean here in the studio. Gene, I want to take just a quick minute. I know we want to get back into the some of the topics we talked about at HIMG, but I want to make mention that, and I will have this presentation actually placed up on the PFTradio.com website.
Oh, good.
So people can actually download that from that site.
Oh, that's great.
I think that would be good information. But that is the website for the radio show is www.pftradio.com. So if you'd like to download that, try to have that up by the end of day today.
And so, let me just say, if you, like me, you have problems with acronyms and remembering them, PFT stands for Planning for Tomorrow, PFT.
That's right.
You know, this really is very, very interesting.
Well, this handout here was basically the slides that we used for the presentation at the event at HIMG, The Grief and the Holidays. And there's a lot of good information there. We talked about, like you were talking before we went to the break, about be patient with yourself. You know, that's one of the things we've got to do is we want to move. We feel like we should be at a certain stage through this whole journey. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes longer than
There's
that.
No set timetable.
There's no set timetable. Mm-hmm. You know, matter of fact, sometimes Dr. Patton talks about on the CD that, you know, 18 to 24 months is really quite normal to get to that point of bearable pain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. So, you know, it's something that we don't get over quickly, right. or it's learning to get through it.
And I would say, if there's listeners out there who are not exactly looking forward to moving from 2011 to 2012,
Absolutely.
This weekend, that check out this website and as soon as you can get this up and running,
yeah.
Fred, because I think some of the things that will be on there will be helpful mm-hmm. to you.
And get a copy of this CD also. I mean, it's really, I just cannot say enough how good the CD is,
right.
with the information that's on there. So both of these are great tools to have.
Exactly.
And, you know, I understand that 2011 is tough. You know, we're thinking about closing a chapter of this whole year, and a lot of some sad things have happened this year for
sure.
some people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to close that chapter sometimes. And this, I think the tools that we've got here is going to help us not necessarily look at that closure that we don't like that word there, closure.
No. I'm going to come up with another word.
That's right. That'll be your task.
That's my task for the new year, exactly.
Right.
But this does go back. I mean, we're through our holiday shopping and everything, but mm-hmm. and it touches on that, so that's useful to know. But it also tells you about other things. As you said earlier, if you don't feel like doing something, don't do it. And
right.
don't feel guilty because you're not doing it.
Absolutely.
Be kind to yourself.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes people will, you know, we're all faced with it. We do things out of obligation.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we've done for the last 30 years. It's okay to do things different.
Sure.
You know, some families want to continue that tradition of doing those things that they've done, and that's okay, too, if that's where you're at.
Right.
But
right.
if you're in that mindset where you feel like, you know what, I just cannot do it. Don't make yourself.
It's probably a good idea to make a little change, or could be a big change,
mm-hmm.
but I'm afraid if you try and do everything the same as it was, it's going to be very, very difficult.
It's going to be difficult because there's going to be a void there, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to be doing things the same way, the same time, the same place every year, and there's going to be something missing.
Somebody missing. Right, yeah.
So, you know, it is going to be different. So mixing it up a little bit and doing something just a little different, you know, instead of having those, here we are going into the New Year's event at our house every year. Maybe this year we go to the kids' house.
Yeah.
Maybe we go to a neighbor's or something mm-hmm. like that. Do something just a little different.
Maybe you stay up and watch the ball drop, or maybe you don't.
That's exactly. Or maybe you just go to sleep and forget it.
That's right. When you wake up, it'll be a new year and a new start. So.
Yeah. One of the things also that we talk about is when we are grieving, to make a list. And this list is of things that are, I guess, our obligations, the things that we have, you know, paying our bills. You know.
Don't forget that.
But, you know, different things that we have as a list that will help us, because our mind is a little cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not thinking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some major emotional event happen in our life that's altered our mind
mm-hmm.
and our state of mind. So sometimes it's good to have a list that keeps us on task. You know, to
lists
know.
Are wonderful things. They really
they are.
Are.
They are. I don't know how I'd operate without a list.
You know, Fred, you told me that the people at HIMG were so pleased with the way this and I think, was this the second year that you've done it?
Yes,
there?
This was the second
right.
year that we've done it.
But they want to continue doing it.
Yes, this is going to be an annual event with HIMG. And matter of fact, they've asked us to go ahead and possibly put some additional events together throughout the year.
Really?
That way it's
mm-hmm.
just not a holiday event,
yeah.
But we'll still have the holiday event, but maybe have some other events surrounding these same topics
yeah.
That's helpful throughout the year. Because just because, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's coming will all be behind us doesn't mean that all this still isn't
But there are holidays throughout the year. I mean, the next big holiday, which we'll probably observe, it's not really a holiday, but Valentine's Day will be
Valentine's
coming up in
Day.
February. And then, you know, there'll be Memorial Day
right.
on July 4th. And it's always, I think, on the big days like that that may be the most difficult for
Absolutely.
People.
I had someone mention to me about putting an event together for Valentine's Day, and I had to think about that for a second, and they said, you know, think about it. It's the first holiday that they have that they never got a card, a Valentine card from their loved one, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah. that dinner that they always went to every Valentine's Day at that special restaurant, not going to be able to do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so... You know,
you need an alternative.
Need an alternative. So, you know...
Fred, the onus is on you to come up with this.
I know, and we're already in the planning stages of that.
Good.
And we're looking at doing some things with that that's not going to be... you know, here's our goal. We don't want to be sad about, you know, we're not trying to put together events that's sad. We're trying to put together events that's helpful.
Right.
And, you know, I think that maybe we may be even looking at some dinners and some things like that we put
mm-hmm.
together and commingle these two events together at the same time.
Exactly.
To where it's actually an event that people look forward to going to.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got some good
Starting
things.
Starting a new tradition.
That's right. Absolutely. We're all about new traditions.
Yeah, which is, of course, one of the things in the brochure about traditions and new ones and old ones and
Absolutely.
Different rituals that you have. So it's enormously helpful, and you say you maybe by the end of the day you'll have it up on the
yeah TV. we'll do our best to try to have this up by the end
PFT.
Of the day yeah pftradio.com
PFT PFT I am just terrible with acronyms.
I'm going to buy you a t-shirt that says
PFT
pftradio.com and you've got to wear it.
I don't have to wear it, do I?
Yes, you do have to wear it.
Oh, goodness.
But,
well, just make sure it's in a good color.
That's exactly right.
Okay. But this is really, really helpful. And when you were doing the program at HIMG, did you touch on all of the different aspects of this brochure?
Yeah, we talked about every bit of this here. And this event was not recorded.
Uh-huh.
And I wished it was, because it really was a good event also.
Right.
But, you know, this is the event, our last show that we had together before Christmas. We actually had Lisa Neamey, Patrick Swayze's wife. We had Maria Shriver,
right.
Susan St. James, those ladies, and Elizabeth Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we had used some audio that we played on the previous
right,
show.
From
well,
them,
we actually
yeah.
had the video that we actually was part of this presentation also. So they
oh,
actually
okay.
got to watch the video with a little more information than what we shared on the air.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It was very helpful, too, because it allowed some of the comments that we received from those in attendance was, you know, hey, these people... They grieve the same way we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not any different than we are. They may be on a pedestal.
We tend to think because they're famous that they don't feel things
they
the same
hurt
way
just
that
like
we do.
They're human.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think, too, this brochure would be not only helpful for those who have lost someone, but for the friends and family members who need to know how to handle this.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some very, very good suggestions in
there. There is, you know, and that's a good point, Gene, because, you know, this brochure, actually, you know, we look at it saying, hey, it's for those of us who are grieving,
mm-hmm.
but actually it's a great tool for those of us who are trying to figure out
Be
those who are grieving
yeah,
and go, okay, am I being insensitive?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's good for those also.
Yeah,
and then it's also a good tool for those who are saying, you know, you're a neighbor and you notice that they've had a loss
mm-hmm.
and they won't come out of the house
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to reach out to them. You know, this may be something just slipping an envelope
yeah.
and say, you know, just
maybe
I stumbled across
help.
This, maybe
yeah.
this will help.
Yeah. Not like the, and I know we've mentioned this a time or two on the air about what do you say when you
right.
meet somebody for the first time. Do not say, I know how you feel, my dog just died.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about that last show, didn't
yes,
we? You know,
we did.
That was something that's probably not the best thing to
not
talk
Not the best
about.
Thing to say. But this
no.
this will, I think, help a lot of people, and it's definitely very well worth reading. You know, a lot of information. I don't know how you compress so much information into about 5 pages here. But,
well,
really
you know,
nice.
and we can actually make this a little larger if we need to where people can read it even better. But
mm-hmm.
this was just, like I said, as a handout from that event. But
yeah.
you know, one of the things I'm seeing here that we talked about was trusting, we talked about this briefly, trusting your own clock. You
okay.
know, your own clock.
Okay.
You know, when are you ready to do these events?
You're
and
talking
when are you
about
not?
Your physical clock.
Right,
okay.
right.
Yeah, or mental clock, emotional clock.
Well, you know, other people mm-hmm. are in a hurry for you to get over this because, you know, they want
yeah.
kind of be the way it was before this loss because
uh-huh.
It has interrupted not only your life, it's interrupted some of your friends' life
right.
and other family members
yeah.
and they're going, you know, come on, you know, let's get back to
and
normal.
And you may have to put on a little bit of an act for
right.
other people, but
right.
You don't have to act yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that is okay to say is, you know, Gene, you're my friend. We've been friends for years. And I just want to tell you how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a difficult time. And this is the reason why I really don't want to go to this event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this event was, it's going to be a tough event for me. I'll go to a next one with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's okay to be honest with people.
I think most people are very, very understanding, too. Mm-hmm. Something
they
that
are.
You've always done with your spouse, maybe. You don't want to do it this year, so don't worry about it. So.
Absolutely.
You know, we've almost run out of time here.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I want to just briefly again say that the free audio CD is available at Henson Mortuary. You can call us at 304-736-8986. We have these already available. You can stop by and just pick one up in the offices there. And they are free. So if you've got someone that you think would really benefit from this, be sure and stop and pick that up. We want to make sure that those get out into the tri-state and get in the right hands.
Absolutely. It could help a whole lot of people.
As well as this
as well as the brochure.
Brochure, absolutely. Yeah. We'll have those available there also. Yeah. And then this will be going up on the website, pftradio.com.
Okay. All right. Well, Fred, another program.
Gene.
Another day.
Absolutely.
Happy
and
New
I guess
Year.
Happy New Year to you. And I guess we'll be seeing each other in 2012.
I guess so.
And
next
amazing.
Year.
That's right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
Super Talk 94.1 FM at AM 930, where Huntington comes to talk sports with Paul and Woody, weekdays 4 to 6. Super Talk 94.1 FM at AM 930, WRVC, Huntington.